Just stay in this place of worship. No matter what happens next, whether it's the message or whether it's ministry, whatever happens, just don't break away. I think one of the most religious things we can do is we can fall into what we've called church procedure. Church procedure. Oh, I need to stay. I need to sit. I need to listen for them. And it's good stuff. It's great that people have honor and respect. But right now, you need to respect what the Spirit is doing over you. If you need to get up here and sit down, then just get up and sit down. If you need to move out into the aisles and just raise your hands, do that. I feel there's a couple of people that are sort of frightened this morning. They feel like God is calling them to more. And He's simply saying to you, would you put your hands up? And you're going, no, that's just religious. What would people think? And He's saying, no, it's an act of faith. I'm igniting something in you. Just take a step of faith. There's a young man down here, I think. This is Josh, isn't it? Josh, yeah. Just as I looked at you before, I just felt the Lord was saying that you're a prophetic mountain climber. And you're going to go up the mountain that people are afraid to go to and afraid to go up. You're going to go up for them and get prophetic insight from the Father for them. And you're going to come down the mountain again and you're going to give it to them. This speaks of a very high level. I feel like the word mountain was important because a mountain's a high level. And I feel like God is going to grow you in time to be a high level prophetic minister. You're going to go up high and you're going to do it in an instant, in a moment, just in a moment. And you're just going to, in a moment, you're going to put a hand on someone's shoulder and you're going to go straight up the mountain. And you're going to come straight back down the mountain in a spiritual second and just deliver to that person what they need to hear. So Father, I just release on this young man the greater prophetic anointing, the emergence of the new. More impartation. I feel like it's like a snowball rolling down the hill. You're just growing more and more every week. It is. There's a man with a beard down the back there. I don't know your name, but I just saw you. The Lord says, I'm breaking addictions off you. There's a door over you right now. You're standing in the doorway, literally in the doorway. Like, here's the doorway of breakthrough from addictions and breakthrough and going back. And you're in the doorway, the man with the beard over there with the cap on. And you're in this straddle. And the Lord just says, it's safe to come in the door now. It's safe to come in the door. I just release on you an anointing to overcome the addiction. There's a lady here with red shoes on. I don't know who she is on the floor just in front of me, with sort of leopard skin pants there. I'm not sure of your name, but just as I look at you, I feel like the Lord wants to bring you a spacious place. He wants to take away clutter. He wants to take away things that are too much and too many, and He wants to replace them with a spacious place in the midst of what may seem like clutter, in the midst of what may seem like too much. He will create a spacious place for you. I'm just going to read a part of a prophetic word that I'm just sending to the New Zealand Prophetic Network. It's only a piece of it. Just stay worshiping if you would. You don't have to listen to me either, by the way. You can just listen to Him. I'm not offended. Not at all. The words I got over this year were new, renew, and restore. New, renew, and restore. Next year is going to be different. It's going to be an outworking of the things that God is putting new, that He is renewing, and He is restoring this year in you. This is the year of get up and dust off and go again. It is actually the door to the new era. This is not just another year. It has actually changed. There has been a divine change take place. You have to not hold on to what was or look for, oh, I just want it to be like it was. No, it is a new era now. It's like we're in the middle of something, and this is a time of new, renew, and restore, and God is allowing this to take place, this pocket between some things, and next year it's like there's some things going to kick off, and He needs His people to embrace what He is delivering into you this year. He would say to you that too much has been put down and put on hold these past 3 years. It's time now to go again. It's the year of turning over the new leaf, the year of the second wind. Way back in the 16th century, the pages of books were referred to as leaves. And so turning over a new leaf meant that one was turning a new blank page, turning over to a fresh page, not an obligation to last year's tasks, but a time to dream again, a time to set dreams in motion. There have been things started in the past that you were excited about that they were put on hold, but now it is time to kick those off again. But for others, it's now new things are going to be unfolded. Isaiah 43 says, do not remember the former things. Do not remember them. Doesn't mean that you won't have them in your memories, but he's saying, do not remember those former things that harmed you, that challenged you. Do not dwell on the past. This is straight out of Isaiah. It says, see, I am doing a new thing. Everyone say, new thing. And now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And the beasts of the field will worship me. The word I got was, will you break new ground with me? This is a life-giving year. This time signifies a major shift and a change that also includes our behaviors and a new stage of life, a new era. Daughters of God, any daughters of God in this room here today? One or two? Yes. The Lord says, I'm bringing you higher. I need you to receive this right now. I need you to hear it and so to brush off the things of the enemy that are around you. I am bringing you higher. Arise and decide to apprehend that what I have promised you. Loudly I heard the words depression being pushed around by the enemy. Do not tolerate it any longer. The battle is not with the flesh, but with principalities and powers. Principalities and powers are mine to take down, says the Lord. It's by being seated with me in heavenly places that you are victorious. You are now going to come into an increased prayer breakthrough place. Get together with others. Get into these connect groups that are happening. These new and renewed groups, and you will start to find the stuff will break off. It's through the finished work of the cross and my blood that you are undefeatable. Do not tolerate what has held you down any longer, what has shaken you round, stolen from you, and kept you bound. I'm releasing my life and fire of change over you. So pray. Stand firm. Jehovah Nissi is over you. The God who fights your battles is over you. Woman of the house, will you break new ground with me? Many in my church have been lost in the swirl of culture, battling with their hands and their intellect over this last period of time, instead of by my spirit. I'm nearly finished. Second heaven battles have worn many down because I never called you actually to battle there. The Lord says, come higher and learn to wage war from the mountain of the Lord. Turn over a new leaf means to make a fresh start, change one's conduct and your attitude for the better. Just as a school student promises their teacher they would turn over a new leaf and behave themselves in class, it's time for believers and churches to come out of a wayward time, a wayward thinking, a wayward concern, and align to a place of fresh breakthrough. God has this ready for you to walk in by His Spirit. If you're struggling with that, then call on Him today, right now, to say, God, renew a right spirit within me. You renew a right spirit within me. It's time to step into a new era, a new way of moving, a way of operating. A new world revival is about to begin and emerge and flourish among what will be great shakings among the nations of the world. But you're not to be concerned by it. I got the words political turmoils will be in the air this year. And I'm not going to talk more about it than that. But it will not move you if you keep your vision on Him. It will not even faze you. But there is a warning here. If you make the evening news or your news feeds an altar that you worship in front of, you will continue on having it affect you. But if you repent, turn off that altar, get rid of it now. You're allowed to watch the news. You're just not allowed it. You're allowed to have it. You're just not allowed it to have you. You know. Get your eyes on Jesus. Will you break new ground with me? I saw two trees. Now, they weren't the trees in the Garden of Eden. And one tree was totally shattered. It looked like the storm had been so heavily against it. I couldn't tell what type of tree it even was. It was just so ravaged and ripped to pieces. It just looked like, man, you just ripped that thing up and just maybe start again. And there was a second tree But this tree was the opposite. It was big. It was huge. It was massive. It had massive thick branches, as big leaves. But I got close to it, and I couldn't tell what type of tree it was. I thought, is it an oak tree? Has it got nuts on it? Is it a walnut tree? Is it a fruit tree? I just couldn't tell. And the Lord said to me, he goes, do you know how to fix both of these trees? I was like, I sort of thought, maybe I don't know, fertilizer or something. I'm not sure. He said, you prune them. I can talk about those two trees, and it's more in a word I'm delivering, but just not right now. But I want to let you know that the Lord this year is pruning. He is doing a work of pruning across his church. But it is a good thing, not a bad thing. I feel there's some people in this room who go, oh, no, I've been pruned enough. Please don't talk to me about that. And I felt the Lord told me to tell you to say, if you feel that way, you are actually the storm-damaged tree. And the Lord said the enemy tried to convince you that it was God's pruning that did this, not the enemy. So the Lord says, trust me over this year, because I am releasing the new, the renew, and the restore over you. He is pruning you. He is taking away the weight of the branches and the weight of the leaves so that you will be able to carry the fresh weight of his fruit. Amen. Tell his friends, if the enemy is doing something big, then God has something absolutely huge on the horizon. So welcome to the year of dusting yourself off to go again. The year of the new, the year of the renew, the year of the restore, the time of the new era. Hosea 10:12 says, sow righteousness for yourselves, reap the fruit of unfailing love, break up your unplowed ground. Has anyone got any unplowed ground? They want some fresh planting in their life this year. I'm sick and tired of working out of that little patch. I want more field. I want more return. Until he comes and he showers his righteousness upon you. Again, you can just stay where you are. I'm not even going to ask the lights to come on at the moment, not for any other reason that just if people are worshiping, I just want them to continue to worship. I'm just going to leave the band to play as well. I really do apologize for anyone who has hearing aids and stuff. I'm not dishonoring you in any way. I know that music playing and me speaking can sometimes be a bit frustrating. I just really pray that Lord just deals with that right now. I just really just want to keep this little bit of worship going. The Lord put in my heart this morning that he was breaking dead wood off of people. He was breaking it off. Dead wood is wood that is no longer fruiting. It's no longer able to sustain life. From the outside in, I mean, my wife's a gardener. I'm not allowed near the garden because I just like rip out all the good flowers and stuff. I don't mean to. My wife often says, Alistair, your policy is the desert storm policy, you know. I'm just in there, I rip it up. If there's a big pile of weeds and a big chunk of the lawn that's like, it could be a kilometer up, you put seeing me in there, I'll rip them all out. But if you want me to do the detail work, I'm probably not your man. You know, I'm not the man for doing that. The Lord is just wanting to break off of you that dead wood this morning. In fact, say to him right now in your own spirit, say, Lord, anything that is just holding me back, inhibiting me, that is dead wood that I think is looks lovely, that I put oil on it to make it look, I know it's not meant to be there, but I'm oiling it so it looks new. Lord, just take it away today because I want my load lightened. I want you to teach me this year to carry the weight of your fruit, not the weight of old branches, not the weight of old leaves and trees, I don't want to be war-torn. In war-torn times, we flourish. We come to a new place of inspiration in him. You know, I want to tell you, friends, there's sometimes that God will have you go back to the start in your faith. Did you know that? Even the Apostle Paul said it. He said, do those things you did at first. If you ever lose your way, God will often send you back to the beginning again. Not so you have to spend another 10 years honing the basics, so that he will re-remind you who he created you to be, so that he can then set you back on the path he needs you to be in. Genesis 1 says this, it says, in the beginning, God, everyone say God. He created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and the darkness, meaning obscurity or a secret place, was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Let me say that again. In this, that says the world was without form and was void, and yet the Spirit was hovering over the waters. Some versions say the Spirit brooded over the waters. Now, I've never really owned chickens, but I hear they brood a lot, right? Chickens brood. So I had to look up what that word brood means. And maybe you can put the slides up there, Gary. And that word brood and what it means. I'll need to jump on or introduce the whānau in a minute. The word brood means bursting the shell into new life. I feel that this year the Holy Spirit is brooding over people in this nation. He is brooding over you this morning because there is a bursting of the shell into new life starting to take place. I want to tell you, friends, no matter how dark or how mysterious or how unusual or how challenging you might think your situation is, or even if you're excited, I want to tell you the Holy Spirit can brood over a life that is lost, that's even excited, that is hurt, that is a life that's been living for itself, that's an addiction. The Holy Spirit can brood over you because the Holy Spirit knows that no matter where you're at, he broods over life because he's waiting for something. He's anticipating. The Spirit broods because the Spirit knows that what may appear from your angle to be a place where you're shaking your head, where you're thinking, I can't do this. I can't see what God is going to do here. It might even be the blackest of darkness, but God can speak life into that void. Amen. Isaiah 11:55 says, my word, not yours, his word that goes out from my mouth will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for what I sent it. Do you believe that today, church? Do you believe his word can do that work? And the proof of God's ability to do this miraculous work is seen when God, over this void, this Genesis 1 void, this black murk, this, what was this thing? If we didn't know what the earth looked like, we had no clue, but the Bible talks about this black, lifeless void. And then he spoke and said, let there be light. And I just pray you turn on the light for people in this room this morning, Father. Sometimes you might say, well, my life can be pretty chaotic, Alistair. Maybe I've just got to speak more positively into my situation. I want to tell you, God creating this world was nothing to do with positive thinking or positive speaking. It was God's creation, and he spoke life into it, spoke into being. If you think positive thinking is going to emerge the Spirit, and you look, you need to be positive, but we need the Spirit of God to empower the Spirit within us. Amen. It's not about what was said, but about who was said. The Bible said that in the beginning there were three, the Father, the Son, and Christ. I want to tell you, before you ever had a problem, God already had a solution, and that was Jesus Christ. John 8:1, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, and all his followers and those who follow me will not walk in darkness. You'll have the light of life, not chaos, not formlessness, not confusion, not depression, not unfulfillment, but overcoming. Today, the Spirit of God is brooding over people in this room. He is bursting, I believe, the shell into new life over you. Because the message I've got for you today is the words new, renew, and restore. Everyone say new, renew, and restore. I actually thought I should put up my family photo, the photo of the whānau, because, you know, my role in the church, I travel. So I do a lot of traveling. I'm an itinerant minister. I also have a call in business. And so sometimes you won't see me. I'll be away. I'll be around the place doing different things. But this is my, and so, and I, when I come here, I said, man, there's so many new faces. Dude, you know? And so I thought I'd better introduce myself again for anyone who goes, who are you? Who is that masked man? This is my whānau, so my lovely wife. I think I've got like a pointer on this thing, is that right? Oh, check it out. Yeah, look at that. It's my wife Tania, there's my dad, Jack, Tyler, my sons, my daughter Jessica, Malachi, he's here. Mal, are you here, bro? You're in the next room? He's in the next room. Malachi's been with us since he was 3 months old. He's now 11. He's awesome. Here's my son, Josh. He's now a police officer. How's that for weird? Dude, every time I go to Blenheim, I have to be careful I don't speed just in case I get pulled up by my own son. Wouldn't that be weird? Hi, Dad. Hi, son. Yeah. Come on, you can let me off with this one, surely. Hey, look, I've shared this story before. I'll share it again. Anyone here a teenager once? Maybe you're a teenager now? Yeah, cool. Yeah, I was a teenager once, and I had this car. It was a cool car. It actually was the first car that I had that had mag wheels, and every guy in the room knows how important it is as a teenager to have mag wheels on your car, and especially in the 80s when I was a teenager. And I had it. It was a Holden Commodore. It was awesome. And I loved it to bits. It was sort of jacked up at the back end, which is sort of weird. I don't even know why I did that, but anyway. And I think I even had fluffy dice in the window, sort of boganish, right? And I was driving in Redwood Town in Blenheim, and I parked at the intersection, and the bonnet exploded, like literally exploded. It just went boom, like a full-on explosion, and flames blew up the front of the windscreen of the car. I'm like, well, I didn't actually. I just leaped out of the car, like as fast as I could. I was pretty terrified, actually. But the thing I forgot to do when I got out there was I forgot to actually, I forgot to put the handbrake on. So the car kept rolling like this. It was right by St. Christopher's Church. So the car was just curving into St. Christopher's Church on fire, literally on fire. And I'm absolutely freaking out, like really freaking out. And I'm sitting here going, oh, well, I wasn't a Christian at the time. I think I might have been using some other words. And I went to the back of the car because you couldn't go to the front, and I grabbed the tow ball to try and stop the car. Did not work. Rule, no, don't. A moving car can't be stopped by grabbing the tow ball. And so I ran around, and all these people were gathering, watching. Anyway, so the car was careering towards this fence. I think I got a photo, actually, to put up there just to give some context. I've got the hand on the tow ball. I was dragging around. I'm like, and so I did what I took off my shirt, which must have been polyprop, and I started beating the bonnet with this thing, trying to put it out. But polyprop's like, I might as well just tip gasoline on it, to be fair, because it just melted to the bonnet of the car. Anyway, all that to say this, I was devastated, but what happened was, you know, insurance came through and I actually got a better car. I got a more awesome car, which sort of is a funny way of just sort of leading into today's message that I feel today, that God, the message I have for us this morning is about new, renew, and restore. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me pray. Father, I just thank you for the anointing that is in this room to bring the new, to bring the renew, and to bring the restore. I thank you, Father, that you are doing this work. You are breaking off dead wood, and you are just, people are actually going to leave the room this morning and feel like something has shifted over them. So, Lord, we just release that. Only your Spirit can do this. We release it across this room in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's talk about restore. Be glad then, you children of God, in a parched place. I don't know if any of you have experienced a parched place in the last few years. But rejoice, for the Lord your God has given you formerly the rain faithfully. He has done it for you before. When you've had a hard time before, has God got you through? Yes, he has rained faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down on you again, both the former rain that you had and the latter rain. The threshing floor of wheat will be full, and the vats shall overflow. So I, God, will everyone say restore? I believe that as he will make new, he will renew, he will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, that the crawling locusts have eaten, and those locusts like chewing stuff, right? He will restore. The part of the scripture that spoke to me was that he will restore that which has been chewed away over you. But I want to tell you, to see this happen, that, you know, we have to play our part. You know, the word restore, I will restore in Hebrew, is this word here. It's the word shalom. It sort of sounds like a kebab or something that you get. I'll have a shalom, bit of garlic with that, bit of tomato. Shalom, and it literally means to make peace with, to make amends. Or listen to this, it means to give over again. I will give over again. Have you discounted yourself? No. I will make new, renew, restore. I will give over again. And you know, this word reconciliation in the Bible means to give a coin of equal or greater value. My car burnt to the ground in front of my eyes, but God restored to equal or greater value. Sometimes we can look at these words, to give again and restore, and think it's all about God doing the work and us just receiving. Not a lot of effort required on my part. Sometimes we think of Jehoshaphat, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord. And we think, well, yeah, sometimes he will do that. It will be he will stand by. You just have to stand and he will do that in your life. But sometimes it's like Joshua, you have to take hold of the land that he's given you. Amen? Sometimes you've got to actually take those steps. I found many of the words that I've been given over my life require me to get involved in making them happen, not just that they will all happen just because they've been spoken. There's a contention over those words that you have. But you see, if I want to have restored, made new, renewed, here's an interesting thing. He needs you to take part in it. Has anyone done any home renovations? Any home handymen here? Any builders? Yeah. Well, I'm not really a builder. I do a really terrible job of building, actually. But I can do some rough stuff. It was years ago when we were living in Victory Square. We had a new kitchen that we were going to put in our house. And I said to my wife, look, I can save a couple of grand. I can put the kitchen in myself. It's just a bunch of wooden boxes, right? Your feet just sort of unscrew and screw. It's pretty simple. Just slap it against the wall and drill it up. And so it was pretty much like that, you know. I just sort of screwed these things to the wall. And they're looking pretty good. I got the bench on. I cut this big hole in the bench. And I went to put the sink in. And I couldn't quite fit, so I cut it out a bit more, and it wouldn't fit. And there was just about that much that was about above, protruding above the bench. So I thought I'd get a rubber mallet and hit it down just to make it fit. Well, I give it this whack, 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 and all of a sudden, the whole front of the cabinetry broke out. Like, this new cabinetry broke out, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, oh, no way. So I did what any good husband would do. I hid it from my wife, and this is literally what I did. So I sort of shut the door, and I thought, oh, man. So I went down to the plastic shop, and I got a big sheet of plastic. I drilled it and put it in under, pushed it all back, cut the bit out like I should have done to start with, and screwed it all up. And you could never, ever tell that I'd even been in there, apart from this big chunk of plastic. And literally, I had about 30 screws in this thing all holding it together. It must have been a good month later, maybe, and my wife just screamed from the kitchen, what is this? And I'll open it up, and it would look like the Bride of Frankenstein. You know, it was just this horrible-looking thing. So I had to come clean. But anyway, let's just say in the spirit you're thinking about this new house, this restoration work that needs to be done now. And God might say to me, Alistair, I need this house to be restored. He might be saying to you, I need this house restored. I need this house restored. I need this house restored. I need the house anew restored. I need the new renew and restore. But guess who gets to swing the hammer? Probably not me, because you've already heard what I can do to a kitchen. I mean, God will help me with the money and the resources if he wants it done. But if he's going to build a house, and who gets to swing the hammer? It's you and me. We've got to be willing to put our hand to the plow this season. This is not just another year where we might cruise through and just sort of enjoy these groups and enjoy the new change in the church and enjoy and enjoy. This is a year of new, renew and restore. This is like a transition point, I'm feeling, between the new era where we have been, where we are going. And this is a time that God wants to actually put you in the cradle of his hand to actually bring you to a place of where you need to be so that next year when it's a time of outworking the breakthrough, you'll be prepared and ready. Is this making sense to anyone? I'm trying to put it in a context to understand. You know, we have to set goals. It sounds so unkingdom. It sounds like, man, that just sounds so unspiritual, Alistair. Well, look at this. Jesus said he set his face like flint for Jerusalem. There were things that Jesus had to do to get done. And he had to, I did this to fulfill that, what this prophet said. I did this to fulfill what that is. And then he has, I set my face like flint for Jerusalem. In other words, Jesus was a goal setter. Did you know that? He didn't just waft around. Didn't just float around and just walk. Yeah, he walked into many things, and God did many things for him, but there are other things that God needs us to do. Is that right? You know, six times in the New Testament, striving is mentioned three times good when it's in the kingdom and three times bad when you strive outside of the kingdom. Some, there might be people here today going, look, I appreciate your message. Come on, I know we've got to get up and go on this, but I've just had enough. I need a break. I'm tired. Maybe you're lonely. You're hurt. Now, don't get me wrong. If that's what you need and that's where you are, then God will empower. He will have for you. Come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's what he'll have for you. He'll have that for you. That's where you're at. But I want to tell you that God does not give us promises because he wants to see them fulfilled. He will not give you promises that he doesn't want to see fulfilled. I think it was a statement by Larry Randolph. He said this, he said, God will fulfill every word, everyone say every word, he has said over you, but he's not obligated to fulfill your potential. Isn't that interesting? It sort of sounds blasphemous, doesn't it? You know, if you don't have that explained, you think, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know if God said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Or actually, what happened to the one talent guy in the Bible? He buried it. This is not a time of burying talents. This is a time for you to actually say, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? How can I take place of it? God will fulfill every word, but your potential, will you bury your potential? Or will you actually do something with it? And it was really interesting because the guy with the one talent didn't have to do much with it. He just said, why didn't you put it in the bank? I mean, are you even giving to ministries out there that are doing the work? I just started giving to a ministry last week because I thought, well, I want to make sure that my talent is doing something. It's not that hard to do something with your one talent. You might be called to be a musician, an engineer, a teacher. You might be called to run a home group. But I want to tell you, God will have your restore, your new, renew, restore based a lot of the time on our actions. As I've already said, I have found the bulk of the prophetic words over my life have needed my action to see them unravel. Would you agree with that? Sometimes they just sit on the shelf. God wants those off the shelf. John Wooden, who was an amazing basketball coach, a Christian coach in the 1960s, I think it was, said success is the peace of mind I only obtain through the self-satisfaction of knowing that you made the effort, of becoming the best of what you are capable. God wants you to be the best of what you're capable. I want to tell you there's another scripture here, and it's, I don't think I put it up there. I thought I had, but it's not. It says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith doesn't come by just being really hard at it. It doesn't come by putting in sweat equity. It doesn't come by anything you can do. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Look, I'm glad you got a word 5 years ago. I'm glad you got a word to come to this church. I'm glad you've got a word. But I want to say, it says hearing. Hearing is present tense. It's now, it's today. What is he saying to you now? What is he saying to you today? Because faith comes by hearing now. And so God wants you to be motivated. He wants you to come to this place of saying, Lord, what are you saying to me? Where do my feet need to be? Oftentimes, it's just putting your feet in the right place. I can still remember a young man in a church overseas. I remember him sharing the story online. He said he sat in the church and he sat down and the first minister walked past him and says, "Oh, you're not in the place of your anointing. That's why it's not working." And he wandered off and he just thought, "Oh, that was weird." He said later on, the visiting minister came through and walked by the man and goes, "Oh, things aren't working for you, are you?" He goes, "You're not in the place of your anointing." Yeah, and well, that happened three times. So he had to say, "Lord, show me my place of anointing." And I think some of the dead wood that's in our life, some of the pruning is we've picked up a bunch of stuff to maybe to survive. Where God says, "It's time for you to let me do what I do well. Let me just hold your arms out and say, God, take away what I don't need now. I want you to take me to the place spiritually and physically of my anointing. I want to see fruit grow." Maybe the musicians could come up this morning. You know, the number one thing that the enemy will try and steal from you in this time of new, renew, and restore, the number one thing, he's not after your shoes. He's not after your house. He's not after even your finances, funnily enough. Oh, I'm not saying he doesn't want to mess around with some stuff, but God will mess around bigger. That's what I know. But it's this. If you abide in me, which means to remain in him, and my word abides or remains in you, you may ask for anything you want and may be granted to you. The key thing is there, if my, everyone say word. The enemy seeks to take the word from you. Even now in this room, if there is a message that is challenging, you'll be filtering what you don't want to receive rather than what you should be hearing about what you should be receiving. That's just what happens. Because that's how the enemy takes the word. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19-20, I have a whole ministry around this, says don't despise the prophetic utterance. Don't hold it in contempt. That's literally the first part of that word. But it says, instead, test all things and hold fast to that which is good. Do you have a testing place in your life where you hear something from the Lord, you hear it, and you start thinking, well, what am I going to do with that? Well, you've got to start testing some things. You may have to start letting some things go. God will show you. Some pruning he'll do, some he'll lead you to do. But it'll be to remove the weight of the branches and the leaves so that you can carry the fresh weight of his fruit, which sustains many. And in the Proverbs it says, those who refresh others, those who give fruit to others, will be what? Will be refreshed themselves. I don't care how beautiful your tree looks to you from the outside, a branch can't refresh anyone. Try gnawing on that for half a day. Wants you to be fruitful. This is a call today, church. He's calling you to receive from him. This is the year of the new, the year of the renew, and the year of the restore. Because next year is going to shift into an outworking. And he's going to take what he blossoms this year and turn it into something that he needs for this next stage. In Lamentations 1:9, it says this. It says, Israel did not consider her destiny, therefore her collapse is awesome. You know, sometimes you can look at that in reverse and go, Alistair did consider his destiny, therefore his success was awesome. Sometimes you need to look over your life and start to make a decision about your destiny. Where do you want to be? I really don't want this message to just be a positive message. This is a spiritual message. I'm trying to communicate it in a very natural way. The Lord says, I will instruct you, I'll teach you in the way you should go. I'll guide you with my eye, not your eye, his eye. Oh, how precious is your steadfast love, O Lord. The children of men take refuge and put their trust under the shadow of your wings. The Lord is wanting to do this new and renew work in you. This new and renew work. This new, renew, and restore. If you've come into this house today, maybe you could just stand this morning. Maybe just turn the lights down. I just felt there's been a number of people that have come like they're on the edge of something. Like they're literally on an edge. Just a spiritual edge. Some of you are well across the line and going, no, God's doing my new, renew, restore real well. I'm good, thank you. I feel like I'm great. If that's you and you feel strong in that, you feel empowered in it, well, who are you taking with you? Okay? It's not all about you. The idea is, who are you taking with you? Who are you discipling? Who are you bringing on the journey with it? That is it. It's part of the reason God calling me back into itinerant ministry again, as he calls it, not how I want it to look. Because he's saying, Alistair, I'm glad that you've got a fresh fire. But he goes, who are you taking with you?